So I think we're just going to get started with Dr. Lazarus. He is with us in the studio today. He is a pediatrician who currently practices hypnotherapy on young people to cure such medical conditions as migraine headaches, bedwetting, and tics. He is a board-certified pediatrician. He's been practicing pediatrics for 25 years. He is frequently lectures on clinical hypnosis all over the country, and he has done so internationally. And so he is one of the only 13 pediatricians in the United States who is a senior consultant as certified by the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. So, Dr. Lazarus, welcome to Blackout News.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to help spread the word about this remarkably powerful technique.
Nice. So, how did you get interested in hypnotherapy? To my understanding, you were a pediatrician for a number of years and just recently got involved in hypnotherapy. So how did you get started in that?
I had had plantar warts, and those are warts on the bottoms of the feet. And I had seen a friend of mine who's a dermatologist, a skin doctor, who had treated me with the traditional ways that we treat patients with those types of warts, freezing them, putting medicine on them, different types of medicine, topical therapy. And after seeing my friend every 3 or 4 weeks for 15 months, the warts were still there. And I remembered Abigail many, many years ago. I had a little 5-year-old boy in my practice who had literally hundreds of warts on the backs of his hands. They were quite disfiguring. He had seen several dermatologists. He actually went to a surgeon who wanted to put the boy to sleep and remove them surgically. And then he went for biofeedback self-hypnosis one time, and a month later they were gone. So I called a pediatrician at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. Her name is Dr. Karen Olness. I didn't know her at all, but she's internationally known in this field, and she was very gracious. She agreed to see me as a patient. She is the co-author of the pediatric textbook on pediatric hypnotherapy. And she taught me the technique, which for an adult is deep muscle relaxation, going muscle group by muscle group. Then when your body's relaxed, your mind is open. And she said, go to a place in your mind where you feel safe, happy, comfortable. When you're in that special state of mind, Jeff, tell yourself, I will no longer feed the warts, and do this exercise and do this exercise 10 minutes twice a day and call me in a month. So I did. I used visual imagery, and I actually visualized the blood vessels constricting the sites of the warts, and I actually felt tingling in those areas. And, of course, all my traditionally trained doctor friends were MDs were laughing at me. And I was not a very compliant patient. I did it 10 minutes twice a day for 4 days, then 10 minutes once a day for 4 days, then every couple of days when I'd remember. Nonetheless, 3 weeks later, the warts were gone and, of course, never came back. So I was really enthused about this, and I called her up and I said, I have to learn how to do this. So since that time, I've gone to numerous workshops and have had the privilege of lecturing all over the world on this. And it's not just used for warts. Of course, it has other applications as well.
Talk to us about some of the things that your patients come to you with and that you help cure them with this technique.
Yeah. Well, I don't cure anyone. I'm like the coach, okay? And I teach them this technique, and they have to do the work themselves. And I liken it to how do you get better at tennis or whatever, sports, soccer. You need a coach, and you need to practice. And I'll be your coach, and I'll teach you this cool technique. And in return, you want to practice it. And the more, just like any other sport or any other skill, the more you practice, the better you get at it. The more you practice, the easier it gets. And the more you practice, the faster you get at it. So it can be used for a variety of things, including migraine headaches, keeping the bed dry at night, what everyone calls bedwetting, but I think the wet word is a negative word, so I try to keep everything positive instead of saying bedwetting. Tics with patients in Tourette syndrome, sports performance, test anxiety, different phobias, needle phobia, fear of flying, insomnia, weight loss, prevention of nausea and vomiting for patients who are undergoing chemotherapy. It can also be used for excessive sweating, and there's some reports of it being helpful for asthma and allergies as well.
That sounds amazing. I mean, you would think that all those different, some of those different ailments, like you mentioned losing weight or something like that, you would think that it's kind of mind-boggling that some of those things that you mentioned could be healed through hypnosis.
Yeah. Again, it works if the patient is motivated. If the patient's not motivated, I can't help him or her. It's strictly how motivated the patient is. And sometimes, you know, parents will bring their child in or their adolescent in, and the parents may be extremely motivated and excited about this technique because, again, it has no side effects. There's no medication involved. And the kids may not be ready or motivated yet. And Sometimes they'll say, well, can't you motivate him, Dr. Lazarus? No, I can't motivate him. That's not my job. If the kid's motivated, he or she will fly, and I can really help those kids. And if they're not motivated, I can't motivate them.
And I was reading on your website that you like to have the parents stay out of it. Is that right?
Exactly right. The studies have shown, Abigail, that the more the parents get involved, the worse it works. And I ask parents, for example, you know, let's say a kid's 11 years old and they've brought the child to me to help keep the bed dry. I'm asking the parents to do the exact opposite of what they've done for the past 11 years. For the past 11 years, if the child's sick, you know, with a strep throat or something, here's your medicine, take it twice a day. And now I'm asking the parents to stay out of it completely. And if they don't, it works worse than if they do.
And why is that?
Because I think there are a variety of reasons. One is that if the parents get involved, then it becomes the parents' issue, not the child's issue. If, for example, when I see kids to help them keep the bed dry, they're the ones who take control over changing the sheets and over, you know, if they have to put the sheets in the washing machine and dryer and all that stuff and change the sheets. This is not done to punish them. This is done to educate them. And some kids would rather just sleep in their pull-ups than master this technique. And if parents do the work for them, then the kids just, what's the motivation? And even, for an example, sleeping in pull-ups, that gives the kids a mixed message. You know, it says, well, we want you to be dry, but it's okay not to be dry because you're sleeping in the equivalent of a diaper. So, you know, when I see the kids for that, one of the first things is no more pull-ups, and they have to take responsibility for doing the bedding.
So, hypnotherapy, it sounds like, I mean, I'm interested, and I think probably our listeners are too, just exactly how it works. And perhaps it works just how you explained it when you were in your introduction, how you got involved. I mean, it sounds really, really simple. Is that pretty much what you tell the children that you're working with, is what you were told and how to cure your warts?
Yeah. It depends on the different age and different cognitive level for different, you know, whether it's a child or an adolescent. For example, an adolescent, you treat those people like adults, and younger children, it's much easier to work with. It's much easier with younger children. And what happens is, what we do is we use guided imagery or visual imagery to create a situation, to create an experience, so that patients realize that they're able to do something that they previously didn't realize they could do. For children, there, and the word is called trance. When I work with someone, I guide him or her into trance, and trance is just, you know, highly focused state of mind. We've all been in trance multiple times. For example, you're riding in the car and you're listening to 91.1, and it's so fascinating that you miss your turnoff. So that would be an example of trance. Or you're in a movie and you're so engrossed in the movie that you don't see it. Or you go to a lecture that seems to last 10 minutes and in fact it was an hour and a half. So we're in and out of trance all the time. And little children, it's basically trance is using imagination or daydreaming. So for kids, we just, when I treat kids, I'm able to utilize their daydreaming, if you will. And for an adult, it takes longer to get into that state of mind because adults and adolescents have more armor, more baggage around them.
I'm just imagining a little child trying to go into a state of hypnosis, and it seems like it would be more difficult for them because, you know, they're always running around, action, action, action. How do you treat a five-year-old? How do you take them through self-hypnosis?
The induction phase, that's the phase that you get someone in the state of mind when their muscles are typically relaxed. The induction phase for children is much, much shorter than it is for an older child. So, for example, I video a lot of my sessions, too. It's a lot of fun. I remember having a five-year-old boy, his place of where he would be focused. There's something called a safe place or safe spot. And so what we do for an adult, for example, get your body relaxed and think of a place where you feel happy, safe, comfortable, etc. And then, you know, go to that place, and what do you see, what do you hear, or really imagine being there? And, you know, it takes, you know, a while for an older kid to get there as compared to a kid who wants to go on the swing. Okay, Johnny, close your eyes and imagine you're swinging on the swings. And there are many kids who are very kinesthetic, who literally their bodies are moving back and forth. But most of them do it with their eyes closed, and it's amazing how still they can sit. There's a wide variation in children, though. Some of them literally spin around in the chair while they're in trance. And the parents think, well, how could they be in trance? Well, they are, just as you said. Some kids are moving a lot, and other kids are just, you know, the parents have never seen them sitting still for such a long period of time.
And so with a five-year-old child, and you instruct them how to do that on their own, and they actually just take time out of the day to do something, to put themselves in a trance, or is it okay for their parents to say, okay, little Johnny, go to your hypnosis now, or how does that work? You know?
Again, I try to take the parents out of the picture completely, and I give the homework assignments to the child. And if it's Johnny who has migraine headaches, Johnny, you'll want to do this exercise at least 3 times a day. Do it, you know, for sure when you go to bed at night. And when else do you want to do it? In the morning, in the afternoon, whatever. And the kid, I have the kids come up with their own ideas on how to do that. And as far as when kids are in trance, there are all sorts of techniques that I can teach them while they're in trance. So, for example, I'm thinking of one little boy with migraines, since we were talking about migraines, who one of the things I do is draw a picture of that migraine. That way, instead of it becoming my headache, it's distance. The kid disowns it physically, and you can say, well, gee, that green blob or whatever instead of my headache. And I remember he drew a tornado, which was a very cute 5-year-old rendition of a tornado, and he imagined throwing bombs into the tornado to get rid of the migraines. And there are all sorts of different techniques to use while the kids are in trance, and that was his way of doing it. It may not fit medically what we're taught as traditional, you know, physicians, but it doesn't matter. So mm-hmm. It still works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, this is fascinating. So one of the questions I've written down is, you have been a pediatrician. I mean, you still are, but you practice traditional medicine for a number of years. So let's just take the example of bed wet. Keeping the bed dry.
Very good.
So what is the standard protocol for trying to help a child to keep the bed dry at night in traditional medicine?
Mm-hmm. Traditionally, people come to us and the kids aren't dry, and often there's a family history of people not being dry. The most important thing we want to do as pediatricians or urologists or family practitioners is to make sure there's nothing physical causing the child to not be dry at night, because there are certain medical conditions that have to be addressed. So once we make sure that there is nothing medical going on, then you have the most commonly used medicines are pills, and there's a nose spray that's sometimes used. The problem is with these traditional forms of medicine, they're not very effective. For example, when kids are not dry at night, the typical spontaneous cure, that means cure if you do nothing for it. If you do nothing, there's a 15% cure rate every year. So if I have 110-year-old kids who see me, let's say there's 110-year-old kids who are not dry at night. A year from today, 85 will still not be dry, but 15 will be dry. A year from then, you know, 15% of 85, whatever, 12 or 13 will also be dry. So the traditional treatments include the alarm system, in which you hook an alarm so that rings, you know, when some urine gets onto this pad, there's an electrical system that causes a buzzer or a ringer or something or an alarm. The problem is many of those kids sleep through it. It wakes everybody in the household except the family. And it takes 6 months for it to work, and the kids and parents have to be very motivated. The typical medication that I mentioned, pills and nose spray, is only 25% effective, which is not much different than the 15% spontaneous cure rate. And those medicine, and as soon as you stop those medicines, there is virtually 100% relapse rate. And also it's exposing the kids to medicines, and often the medicines don't work. With this particular medicine, usually there aren't many side effects from this particular medicine, but, you know, there are plenty of conditions, for example, tics in patients with Tourette syndrome or migraines, where the medicines have significant side effects and often don't work, and the patients have the medication on their own. So although this is considered alternative medication or alternative medicine, it's been around for many, many years, and you know, thousands of years. You know, acupuncture's been around a long time too. It's just that we don't do it in the United States. So, with clinical hypnosis, though, it's been around for many, many years, and most of us traditionally trained physicians are taught. You know, we go to pharmacology. We take pharmacology courses. We do our residencies, and someone comes in with a condition, we treat a symptom. You know, so what the difference is, instead of merely giving someone a pill, I'm teaching that kid a skill. And this is a skill that can be used for a lifetime, not just for that condition, but once that condition is mastered, then the child has a gift for life that he or she can use for many, many different applications.
Right. And just to back up just a little bit, I was just wondering, you mentioned about giving children medications, pharmaceutical medications, and I think that pharmaceuticals are not very healthy, and I was wondering, especially for a child, does it impact a child more to take pharmaceutical drugs than it does an adult?
Well, it's like anything else. You weigh the benefit versus the risk, so it depends on the condition that you're treating. And certain conditions definitely require medication. You know, other conditions, you know, I'm the anti-drug. So, I usually see the kids, I see the train wrecks, the kids who have been treated with different medications that don't work or have side effects, and then I end up seeing those kids. And it's a shame because many of those conditions can be treated without the medication, and I would prefer to see those kids sooner so that they don't get exposed to any of those things.
Right. So you mentioned a little bit about hypnotherapy, how it's a pretty ancient practice, and it's not very common here in America. What about in other countries?
I can't comment enough about it. I can say that we're reaching out. The hypnosis people are doing this to help, especially there are many poor countries, third world countries, where they don't have even Tylenol and pain medication, and surgeries can be done, believe it or not, without anesthesia. So the hypnosis people are reaching out and educating people in third world countries to help those patients control their discomfort with just hypnosis.
Hmm. And so you don't treat any adults at this time?
My license, I'm a you know, board-certified pediatrician. I'm not an internist or family practitioner. Mm-hmm. So I stick with, children and adolescents.
Right. So let's take again, let's go back to that example of bedwetting. Okay. And, I mean, keeping the bed dry at night. And what is, when that is treated through clinical hypnosis with a child, what is the success rate in that?
Great question. The success rate depends on the child. If I treat, I don't know, 100 kids, you know, I can say that 80% did well. It depends how you define well. I define well as dry. I mean, every night, forever. The kids that are motivated do well after, you know, usually 2-3 visits. The kids who aren't motivated don't do as well. So I consider the kids who are motivated, who follow the instructions and stick with the program, 100% are going to be cured. The ones that are non-responders, I don't see them after a couple of visits. It's I don't want to waste the parents' time and energy and resources, and the child too. So the child has to be motivated to follow up. But typically, when kids are motivated, I can help them help themselves in 2-3 visits. I could tell a couple stories if you'd like to know about a couple patients, for example.
Sure, we're getting a little bit lower on time, but yeah, I mean, please, if.
So I can tell you a couple of vignettes. A 6.5-year-old girl who was referred to me to keep the bed dry, and that's kind of young. I think most kids aren't really ready until they're 8 anyways. And what happened was when she woke up in the middle of the night, she'd spend the rest of the night with her parents in their bed. So I had the little girl, I asked her what's bad about not being dry, what's good about it, and she didn't have much answer. And then I had her leave the room and draw some pictures with the medical assistant. And I explained to the parents in a very kind, empathetic, sensitive way that they're enabling their daughter to do this. And as soon as they stop allowing her to sleep with them for the rest of the night, it's a reward. That's not a punishment. That I think the little girl would be more apt to stop, and they never came back to see me, which was fine. You know, in contrast, there was a 10-year-old boy who I saw. He had never been dry ever for 10 years. I saw him the first visit and planted some seeds and did what I usually do, and saw him a week later. He'd been dry 5 of those previous 7 nights, taught him hypnosis, then he never came back for a third visit. I've seen a couple college kids now who, you know, a month before college starts, they're going to become freshmen, and they're not dry at night. So they typically come to see me because they want a letter excusing them, you know, so they can get a private room. And there was one 19-year-old boy who I saw, wrote him his letter, and of course after the second visit he was dry. And another young lady who just entered college a couple months back, saw her once and made plans to see her before she was starting college again. Her mother called me the day before the visit and said, you know, would you write her a letter so she can get a private room? And the girl had been dry since I'd seen her. So I said, do you want a letter? She said, no, I want to be I'm a normal kid. I want to have a roommate. So it varies how motivated
the
kids are. Yeah.
That's really good. And I like the contrast between conventional medicine and something like you've been talking about with hypnotherapy, where it's, like you said, you're teaching the children a skill. And so they have the satisfaction of realizing that they did something and now they're better, rather than being dependent their whole life on some drug, you know?
Exactly. And it's so empowering, self-empowering, and it builds such self-confidence. It's tremendous for the kids.
It's beautiful. And you mentioned something before about how when you teach children how to hypnotize themselves and for, you know, a certain medical problem. But you said that it can be applied to other things too. So let's say a child has a migraine and then they overcome that, and then they have a really bad, you know, X something, some problem. So they don't necessarily need to come back and see you again. They can just use the technique that you taught them to work on this other area that they're having a problem with, or how does that work?
It depends what the area is. You know, sometimes the kids will say, well, gee, can I use it for this? And I'll say, well, how long have you been using it for that? Now, you know, they laugh because they've already done it. But some kids, they'll come in, and after, if I may see them, and at the second visit or third visit, if the problem is solved and we still have extra time for that visit, I'll say, what do you want to work on today? And typically we'll work on sports. So it's not uncommon for someone to fix his or her migraines after two visits, and then we have some time left. Okay, you know, what do you want to work on? Whether it's tennis or swimming or golfing, it makes no difference. Football, wrestling, it makes no difference to me. It's all the same. It's just applying the same techniques. And these techniques are the same techniques that are used by Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Michael Jordan, and Joe DiMaggio years ago. So
you mean to enhance their performance?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And test anxiety or so that, make them more consistent.
Wonderful. So, and just in closing, is there any comments you want to say or any last words or anything?
Yeah, first of all, it's been a pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate you inviting me to help spread the word. And there's a whole lot of information on my website if people want to grab a pen or pencil. It's www.jefflazarusmd.com. That's J-E, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, L-A-Z-A-R-U-S-M-D.com. And for those who don't have access to the web, if they call 216-464-4718, extension 207, and I'm happy to answer their calls.
Great. So that's www.jefflazarusmd.com.
Right.
Great.
And 216-464-4718, extension 207.
Nice. Very good. Well, yeah, I appreciated you coming down. This is fascinating, learning about this hypnotherapy. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. I always like to hear about things that you know everyone can do to keep themselves healthy, and it's great hearing that the mind is a powerful tool, especially our own mind.
Absolutely.
Is a really powerful tool in that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dr.